Today, market optimism continues thanks to US soft landing hopes. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, go across to Europe, Asia, and end in Australia, and also cover gold, oil, and crypto. As we count down to the end of the year, US stocks closed higher on Friday, with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ notching their highest closing levels since early 2022, and the Dow notched its longest weekly winning streak since 2019. A robust US jobs report fueled investor optimism about a soft landing for the economy, and so investors paired bets that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in March. That's after a Labor Department report showed non-farm payrolls increased by 199,000 jobs in November, compared to an estimate increase of 180,000. The unemployment rate slipped down to 3.7%, while average earnings edged up to 0.4% on a monthly basis, compared to forecasts of 0.3% growth. The uptick in wages growth, which risks boosting inflation, has muddied the optimism for rate cuts, and that pushed Treasury yields higher, though some economists were quick to downplay the strength of the report, attributing it to the return of employers that were on strike. Were it not for the strike, November would have been somewhere around 170,000, and October would have been around 180,000, Jefferies said in the Friday note. Interest rate futures show that traders widely expect the Federal Reserve to hold interest rates steady at its meeting next week, but futures prices are now implying that traders most likely expect the Fed to start cutting rates in May, which is 2 months later than the March meeting that many investors had previously been betting on. The drop in the unemployment rate in particular will assuage any concerns of a recession, and with payrolls and earnings both rising, it keeps the soft landing narrative very much in the ascendancy, said Stuart Cole, head macroeconomist at Equity Capital in London. The report will likely see some of those forecasting an early Fed cut next year reevaluating their positions, he said. 135 days into the rate pause, assuming no additional hikes are forthcoming, be careful what you wish for, LPL financial chief economist Jeffrey Bunchbinder said in a note, higher for longer, and a muddled through economy without cuts might be best for stocks in 2024. Other data showed that US consumer sentiment had perked up, much more than expected actually in December, snapping four straight months of declines as the University of Michigan's preliminary results of its consumer sentiment index shot up to 69.4. That's the highest since August, from November's final reading of 61.3. So the S&P 500 climbed 0.41% to end the session at 4,604. The NASDAQ gained 0.45% to 14,403, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.36% to 36,247. For the week, the S&P 500 rose 0.21%, and that's the longest streak since November 2019. The Dow edged up by 0.1% for the week, also its sixth week of gains, and that's the longest run of positive weeks since February 2019, and the NASDAQ gained 0.69% for the week. Just bear in mind, though, the S&P 500 remains about 4% from its record high close in late 2021, and the NASDAQ is still down about 10% from its record high back then, too. Looking at specific names, chipmaker NVIDIA and Facebook owner Meta Platforms each gained nearly 2% on Friday's session, but shares of Google parent Alphabet dipped 1.4%, giving up gains after an AI-led rally in the previous session. Following US Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's cautious remarks on interest rate increases, US bond prices rallied, driving the 10-year Treasury yield to a three-month low of 4.104% during the week, but yields on the 10-year bond rose while the 2-year moved higher earlier. Both were still well off their previous peaks, and by the way, the DXY was 103.99. So where will markets go from here? Well, past rate cycles have shown that stocks tend to climb during the period when monetary policy is on hold. The S&P 500 has gained an average of 5.1% in periods that the Fed has paused its rate hiking cycle, and before the central bank's first cut according to analysis of ClearBridge Investments. The S&P 500 rally has brought it back to around where it stood when the central bank last raised rates in July, suggesting there could be upside from current levels, they said. At the same time, a period of strong gains often sees stocks continue to push ahead for months, at least according to Ryan Detrick, chief market strategist at the Carson Group. The S&P 500's 8.9% gain in November puts it in the 20 best performing months since 1950, he wrote in a recent report. The index was higher a year later, 80% of the time after these exceptional months, rising 13.3% on average, he said. Still, the market's recent gains could warrant caution. Angelo Koukafos, senior investment strategist Edward Jones, said a hotter than expected number in consumer price data out on Tuesday could drive a short-term pullback. And investors are shifting funds between asset classes as global bond funds saw significant inflows in the 7 days to December the 6th, amid growing expectations of interest rate cuts in the US and Europe and signs of inflation waning. Investors purchased a net $11.57 billion worth of global bond funds during the period. That's the most substantial weekly net buying since April the 5th. Global high-yield bond funds attracted $2.38 billion, but government bond funds saw $1.2 billion in outflows. European bond funds notably drew $11.03 billion. That's the highest since April 2021, while Asian funds gained $1.33 billion and US funds experienced $2.56 billion in net outflows. Meanwhile, demand for equity funds cooled as they received just $1.62 billion. That's the lowest weekly inflow in 5 weeks. Now turning to gold, gold prices stuck above key levels after the yellow metal had a race to record highs at the beginning of the week, helped by a mix of rate cut bets and safe haven demand. But it had lost the record highs as abruptly as it reached them, as traders locked in profits amid some uncertainty over US monetary policy. Gold futures expiring in February were flat at $2,020 an ounce, and that's still maintaining the 2,000 ounce level for nearly 3 weeks, indicating possibly increased optimism over gold's prospects in the coming months. But while the yellow metal hit a new record high, the silver price remains below its post-pandemic peak at just $23.29. Silver and mining stocks have been material underperformers, actually, and with the latter better barometers of investors' enthusiasm, their relative weakness perhaps should concern the permabulls. Oil prices rose more than 2% on Friday after US data supported expectations of demand growth, but both benchmarks fell for a seventh straight week, their longest streak of weekly declines in half a decade on lingering oversupply concerns. Brent crude futures settled at $75.90, while US West Texas Intermediate settled at $71.26. For the week, both benchmarks were down about 3.8% after hitting their lowest since late June on Thursday, a sign that many traders believe the market is oversupplied. This, of course, has a potential positive influence on inflation. And fueling the market downturn, Chinese customs data showed its crude oil imports in November fell 9% from a year earlier, as high inventory levels, weak economic indicators, and slowing orders from independent refiners weakened demand. So, are Friday's gains the first in succession a sign that the market has found a floor for now, after falling for six straight sessions? Well, Phil Flynn, analyst at Price Futures Group, says, look to step in with caution, but the lows should be in. Well, we'll see about that. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia and Russia, the world's two biggest oil exporters, on Thursday called for all OPEC Plus members to join an agreement on output cuts, just days after a fractious meeting of the producers' club. Now, over in Europe, the benchmark Stoxx 600 index rose to its highest level since early 2022 on Friday after an upbeat read on the US labour market encouraged investors' risk appetite. It ended at 472.26. The index has rallied over 10% since October the 27th, as traders bet that the world's biggest central banks have finished raising interest rates and will switch to cuts early next year, but that may be over-optimistic. Fresh data showed that Germany's industrial sector struggled as Germany's industrial production unexpectedly fell in October, a day after industrial orders in the 20-bloc nation's largest economy also surprisingly fell during the same month. Further data showed that Italian industrial output fell 0.2% in October, month on month, a fraction less than expected. And European statistics agency Eurostat confirmed its estimate that gross domestic product in the Eurozone decreased 0.1% in the third quarter compared to the previous 3 months. A poll showed the ECB will start cutting rates by the second quarter of next year, earlier than previously thought, as the economy enters a short and shallow winter recession. So the DAX was up 0.78%, the CAC 40 in France up 1.32%, and the UK FTSE up 0.54%. In Asia, most Asian stocks rose slightly on Friday, with Chinese markets recouping a measure of recent losses, while Japan's Nikkei 225 fell sharply after the Bank of Japan hinted that it eventually planned to begin tightening monetary policy. The Nikkei 225 was actually the worst performer for the day, falling 1.77% on a near one-month low after the Bank of Japan Governor Kudo Ishii on Thursday outlined the options the bank had to pivot away from ultra-low interest rates. His comments were the clearest signal yet that the world's third-largest central bank planned to tighten its ultra-dovish policy in 2024 and triggered a sharp rally in the yen. But Ueda still maintained his stance for policy to remain loose in the near term, citing the need to shore up economic growth. A Bank of Japan pivot will bring an end to a nearly decade of easy monetary policy, which of course has been enjoyed by Japanese stocks, which was also a key factor behind their stellar rally this year. This notion was furthered by a revised reading on Japan's third quarter gross domestic product, which showed a bigger than expected decline in economic growth. The weak data, which also came in on the heels of soft housing spending figures, weighed on sentiment towards local stocks. China's Shanghai Composite added 0.11% and Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 0.11%. Both indices lost ground this week as sentiment towards China was battered by a credit rating warning from Moody's, as the ratings agency flagged increased risks to the economy from a property market meltdown, as well as a lack of clear policy support from the government. Trade data for November showed little improvement in the Chinese economy, and while the country's trade surplus grew more than expected on a mild recovery in exports, an unexpectedly significant decline in imports showed that local demand remained weak. More cues on China's economy are due out next week from industrial production and retail sales data for November. Broader Asian markets were mixed, with South Korea's KOSPI up 1.03% on strength in heavyweight tech stocks, while India's Nifty 50 came off recent record highs following the Reserve Bank's meeting there to keep the rates on hold for a fifth straight month amid steady economic growth in India. Optimism over India's economy has been a key driver of stock market gains this year, as the country remains the fastest growing major economy in the third quarter. But it is possible local stocks will do some profit taking in the coming sessions, especially as investors lock in some profits towards the end of the year. Now in Australia, shares rebounded from early losses on Friday as a sharp rally in Santos and strength in iron ore prices sent the benchmark 1.7% higher for the week, in the second straight period of gains. The ASX 200 rose 0.3% or 21.6 points to 7,194, and the All Ords also rose 0.3%. Energy and materials led the gains. Santos was the second biggest outperformer after leaping 6.2% to $7.25, the largest one-day rise in more than a year, as investors cheered a possible merger with Woodside. It's quite typical for risk arbitrage outcomes to behave this way, said Roger Gamble, executive director at MA Financial Group. Woodside is seen as the larger bidder in what is being called a merger, so short the bidder and long the target. Indeed, Woodside shares ease 0.5% to $29.81 on concerns that it may leave too much on the table, yet some investors were optimistic about the deal. A proposed merger unlocks plenty of value for Santos shareholders in the short term, and the notable cost synergies will benefit Woodside over the medium term, said George Barbaras, head of research at K2 Asset Management. Meanwhile, iron ore prices jumped 1% on robust Chinese demand and lifted miners. Rio Tinto shares added 0.9% to 128.89, the highest level since August 2021. BHP gained 0.7% to 47.74, and Fortescue rallied 1.1% to $25.77. Investors also favoured lithium explorers, sending Sayona 13% higher at 6 cents. Allkem, Lake Resources and Liontown Resources all climbed more than 4% each. In other corporate news, energy player Genex Power rallied 2.9% to 17.5 cents after locking in a long-term power sales deal with Queensland State Generator Stanwell Corporation. ANZ ended flat at $24.61 after copping a fine from ASIC for breaching disclosure obligations back in 2015. And elsewhere, the Australian dollar stood tall at 65.77 US due to broad weakness in the US dollar, yet it snapped a three-week winning streak with a 0.8% drop since Monday. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers confirmed the Reserve Bank of Australia board should aim to return inflation to the middle of the 2 to 3% target band, or 2.5%. Treasurer Jim Chalmers has axed a controversial proposal requiring the Reserve Bank of Australia to give equal consideration to full employment and inflation as part of a new agreement that may mean interest rates stay higher for longer. The back down followed warnings by the likes of former RBA Governor Ian Macfarlane and former Treasurer Peter Costello, who said the proposed wording was vague and would make the RBA less accountable for fighting inflation. So Dr. Chalmers on Friday released a new statement on the conduct of monetary policy, traditionally an agreement between the federal government and the central bank on its relationship and considerations for setting interest rates. The statement gave effect to several of the non-legislative recommendations from the independent RBA review, including confirming the RBA board should always aim to return inflation to that middle of the 2 to 3% target band, or 2.5%. IFM Investors chief economist Alex Joyner said targeting the middle of the band made the prospect of a rate cut unlikely until late 2024, given the RBA's current inflation forecast do not show it achieving 2.5% inflation at any point in the next couple of years. Finally, on-chain analytics startup reports an on-chain activity spike this week as Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies rallied to newly highs. Bitcoin was at 43,895 and Ether was at 2,367. As a result, the Bitcoin network saw a large increase in transaction fees, surpassing Ethereum's total fees. In this comparison, Bitcoin fees increased by 60%, while Ethereum fees increased by nearly 50%. A combination of factors appears to be driving the increase in network fees for Bitcoin, including a Bitcoin price climb that saw the cryptocurrency reach yearly highs of 45,000 on December the 5th, before settling above 43,000, where it's presently trading, and an uptick in Bitcoin inscriptions, which increased demand for network capacity. Because of the popularity of inscriptions, the cost of sending a Bitcoin transaction has risen. Bitcoin's total fees for the week amounted to $43.8 million and represented a 61.4% increase. Ethereum total fees amounted to $83.3 million, which represents a 48.3% growth, according to Into the Block data. Despite its recent bullish climb to new daily highs, though, Into the Block sees a worrying indication for Ethereum. It observes that Ethereum is not experiencing a major surge of new users as the number of new addresses and the new adoption rate shows no significant spikes. Despite this, Ethereum is the only major layer one network where the percentage of supply held by whales has increased significantly. According to Into the Block, whales now hold 35% of the ETH supply, up from 22% in January. So, standing back, you can see still more uncertainty here about where the markets are going. They're still pretty much priced for perfection, but the expectations now for rate cuts seem to be being kicked out. It'll be interesting to see what the Federal Reserve says next week when it makes its decision. And of course, we also get a decision from the UK Bank of England as well. So plenty of action still ahead. but it's not necessarily going to be plain sailing up to the end of the year. And actually, I think the question needs to be thought about in the context of the next 6 months, not the next 3 weeks. Bottom line is this: there are lots of uncertainties out there, and of course, the markets are still probably over bullish, but we'll see how things play out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next week.